Your name, please?
Betty Friedan.
And your occupation and position?
I'm a writer. I've just written a book, The Feminine Mystique.
Mrs. Friedan, do you feel that it's a primary function of mothers to prepare their daughters for marriage?
Well, my viewpoint is that it is the function of mothers to prepare their daughters for marriage no more and no less than it is their function to prepare sons for marriage. I think that the feminine mystique has defined girls primarily in terms of their sexual function. But if we grow up in America and allow girls as well as boys to grow up and realize their full potential and identity as human beings, then sure, girls will expect and be brought up by their mothers to expect to get married and have children, just as boys will.
This is Viewpoint, an unrehearsed and personal interview with another distinguished and well-known personality who will reveal to you, the American public, what he holds to be the responsibilities of his position in American life. Produced by the Episcopal Church and brought to you as a public service by this station. Mr. Kennedy's guest today is Betty Friedan, originator and director of the Community Resources Pool, author of the best-selling book, The Feminine Mystique, and contributor to McCall's, Harper's, Reader's Digest, and other magazines. Here is the moderator of the award-winning series, Viewpoint, the Reverend Dana F. Kennedy. Mr. Kennedy.
Welcome to Viewpoint, Mrs. Betty Friedan. The word which is, I believe, commonly misunderstood is the word which you have used, the sexual function. Does this mean anything other than the physical side of sex?
Well, you see, I think that in the last 15 to 20 years in America, we have defined women as sex creatures. I think that in years and centuries past, by virtue in the beginning of biological necessity and then of prejudice and lack of opportunities and real legal and educational discrimination, women were forced to live according to that Freudian dictum, you know, anatomy is destiny. But now, when the whole world is open to women and the potentials of themselves, which they could realize in society, the old prejudices that said women's place is in the home, or anatomy is destiny, or a woman is made merely to serve man's needs and to be the sexual complement and completer of man, these are now being perpetuated in sophisticated ways, so that for the girl is not brought up to see herself as herself a full human being. She's almost told that her only identity is the sexual one. The important thing for the girl to be is popular. And of course, we know this is not the way that men are regarded. Men are regarded as rather complex human beings, and the sex life of the man is an important part of his life, but he is regarded as, you know, you'd never define a man in those terms. Man, so the man is still the measure of humanity, and woman is still, by this mystique, some sort of a not quite human sexual creature. And this is what we've done to women in America, and I think it's had very bad effects on women, on marriages, and on men, and on children.
Do you feel that women are equal to men?
I do. I think that they are equal in potential. I think that very few women, certainly in America today, have realized their full human potential.
Are women the same as men?
Woman shares a brain with men. She shares a spirit. The human spirit, the potentials of the spirit and of the mind of the human being, that which makes women and man different from, you know, a lizard, a cow has babies. A woman has babies, but a woman shares the human spirit, and a girl should grow up knowing and wanting to discover her human capacities and developing the potential of her mind and her spirit as well as she develops her sexual potential. And we know very little yet in America, in the world, of what women can be, because women are just beginning to be able to ask that question, who am I? Who am I as a human being?
Do boys and girls get much the same education?
They do and they don't, you see, because the feminine mystique begins operating at a very early age. And there are studies that show that even in junior high school, before, you know, before puberty, before adolescence, the girl who has really swallowed the whole femininity thing and the important thing for girls to be popular, and it isn't smart for a girl to be smart, will begin to really suppress her own abilities and potential in school. And she will not face, put her full self into the tasks that will make her realize her own efforts and realize her own abilities. And her IQ drops. They've shown studies where these girls at suddenly 13, 14, the IQ falls because without independence, without testing, without these things atrophy just as any other thing atrophies. And so the girl begins not to get the same education as the boy. She begins not to take that education seriously. She doesn't, and you can see it happening in junior high, in senior high often. I have had so many letters from girls who say, well, everybody wants to go to college, but since everybody just wants to, is just going to get married, and they've gotten engaged to college boys, and the smart thing to do is to not waste their time or the parents' money in going to college, and they're going to get married and live happily ever after.
Are the girls marrying, and of course the boys too, younger now?
Yes, and the most common age of marriage for girls in America today is 18, and the first baby at 19, and this makes us a backward nation, because not only in the other Western nations are the, but the emerging, formerly undeveloped nations, where the advent of science and education and the new, you know, where they are taking their place in modern society, for girls as well as boys, education is the road to the future, so that the girl does not marry and begin to have babies until she's finished her own training, or pretty far along with it, to the point where she can know who she is and wants to be in society. And then she makes new plans and patterns of life where marriage and motherhood fit in with this. And I am not saying, incidentally, and this is a misunderstanding in my book, I am not saying all mothers with five children immediately leave them home, shut the door, and go off and get a job. Unfortunately, what's happening in America today is too many girls are getting jobs too early. They quit school and get a job as a secretary at 18, a nothing job, they call it, or they quit college and to get a job to support the husband through college or through graduate school, because the purpose, the goal in society which requires education, is only considered important for the boy. So she doesn't use her education and she gets a job too soon instead of finding out what her purpose could be in society too.
Does marriage come as a shock to the girls?
The reality, I think. Marriage is, as one of the girls wrote to me, she discovered that marriage can only give you as a person what you bring to it as a person, and if you come to it without knowing who you are yourself yet, you're going to demand something perhaps from your marriage it can't give you, and they are marrying too young, I think. In some cases it works out and the girl and the boy will continue to grow, but in other cases it becomes this trap that we read so much about today.
Do the girls feel penned in? Do they have any feeling of resentment to their situation after a while?
Yes, after a while. I don't think, I think that this varies a great degree. I think that motherhood and having children is an extremely gratifying experience, you know, to a woman, and love is, and marriage is, you know. And that a girl may not necessarily feel that she may be able to define herself so completely as a wife and mother in those first years that she will in no sense feel trapped or hemmed in the beginning. The interesting thing is that even very young girls whose children are young have that trapped feeling, and it is because they are aware that for the human being, of course, the future is as important as the past, and a woman cannot easily shut the walls, the doors of her mind and spirit on the future.
What sort of things would you hope that women might eventually come to do in addition to being wives, homemakers, mothers, what would be this added plus which is necessary?
Whatever she can be or do. If she's an artist, let her take herself seriously enough to be a good artist, a serious artist. If she's a musician, let her do that. If she's a scientist, let her be serious about it. Let her be a doctor. Let her be a lawyer. Let her really take herself in politics seriously enough to do more than lick envelopes. You see, our society is changing so fast that what any woman can do or be depends on what the possibilities are in society and herself. But she cannot find this out by looking at herself in the mirror, and she cannot even really fully find it out by looking inside herself, although she must do that very honestly. She can really only find it out by moving out and trying, and it takes trial and error. But the first thing it takes is to take yourself seriously. And, you know, this is every human being's duty to himself, woman or man.
Mrs. Frieden, what are the satisfactions you get from your work?
Well, I've done two things that have been very satisfying to me in the last 5 years. I was writing for magazines, but then I sort of stopped that and gave most of my writing attention to my book. And this, of course, was satisfying indeed, because it did seem to me that there was this great discrepancy between the reality of women and the image they were, the mystique. To put this puzzle together to find to my amazement that I was discovering something new. You see, sometimes I didn't even realize what I had discovered until I was writing it, you know, putting it together. But I also, at the same time, due to certain problems that I saw in the educational field for my own children in schools, was doing a project in the community for which I did not get paid, which was simply a kind of an innovation in the community, this community resources pool where we use the artists and the scientists and the politicians and all the people who are doing creative work to work with the children on Saturday mornings in seminars so that the children get some sense of the exciting work that there is to do in the world that will help them find their identity, not just the suburban housework and the elementary school teacher. Well, this project, which I did and which later I got a grant for, was also very exciting.
Mrs. Frieden, do you think that women have a capacity for spiritual insight and for making value judgments?
I do. I think they have as much capacity in that regard as men. I think that they don't have one thing that men have in that respect. Confidence.
Because of culture?
Yes. And as a matter of fact, in the suburbs, where there are many women who have very strong values, despite the feminine mystique, because of the feminine mystique, they are living their lives very much within the confines of that suburban community, the home, and they are exerting these values primarily in matters of the education of the community and the culture of the community, but they are exerting of tremendously good influence, and they are creating. They are creating a fiber, as women have in America from the beginning, had a great responsibility cultural and moral values of our society. But our pioneer grandmothers and great-grandmothers took themselves seriously and did not try to fit themselves into a silly ninny model of femininity. And I think that their granddaughters should do the same thing.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Betty Friedan, for being with us and for giving us your viewpoint.
Thank you for having me.
This has been Viewpoint, an unrehearsed personal interview with another distinguished and well-known personality, produced as a public service by the Division of Radio and Television of the Episcopal Church. Today's guest was Betty Friedan, originator and director of the Community Resources Pool, author of the best-selling book, The Feminine Mystique, and contributor to McCall's, Harper's, Reader's Digest, and other magazines.